Everyone, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series and this Crossing the Exile. I think it's a great, great program because it just brings to mind how important the journey is. It's not, yes, of course, getting to the end game is the most important, but the ride, God has made the ride incredibly adventurous, for lack of a better word. Because everything we do, he says, I'm spying on you. I'm watching you. Everything we do has an impact on all of creation. I mean, think about that. I mean, we thought we did something that wasn't so good, had an impact negatively maybe on our lives or on perhaps our family. But now it's all creation, past, present, and future. So we really have to be good. And the divine will is teaching us to do that. So I'm going to introduce Maureen right now. I'm going to ask Maureen to unmute herself.
Hi, Peter. You know what? I'm glad. I like to think that Jesus is always looking at me because it helps. If I could just remember that.
It does.
I think the Blessed Virgin says, just think of yourself as always with Jesus. And I said, if I can do that, I can get this, you know, I can do it.
My wife reminds me, she says, remember, Jesus is sitting right next to you. I'm saying, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done whatever. Not that it's that bad, but if we do that and we understand the lighter side of Jesus, which I think we mm-hmm. see and hear and experience in the divine will, God is not sitting there with his, like those religious sisters waiting to smack you with the ruler at CCD. No, he's not waiting to smack people. He's waiting to love and embrace people. We've talked about this before. What does he want? I mean, I keep talking about that gentleman from New York called me, hey, Pete, what's in it for God? You know, what does he want here? And basically he told us in a couple different passages, he wants his paternity back. He wants to be our father again. Just like our paternal fathers, you know, how we care for our children. We like when our children come to us for advice, for protection, for guidance. He wants to be involved in everything we do. Just like paternal parents that want to be involved in their children. So he doesn't want much. He's given us everything and he expects very little of us. I mean, what an equation that is. Yeah. It's incredible. But Maureen, if we could, we're going to start with a supplication. The supplication is going to be our prayer. Again, leaning on our Blessed Mother. Remember, the Catechism 507 states that Our Lady is the perfect model, the perfect example of the Church, which is incredible. And also, don't forget what St. Louis de Montfort says. He says, Mary, quote, Mary will consequently produce the marvels which will be seen in the latter times. The formation and education of the great saints who will come at the end of the world are reserved to her. End quote. So we leverage Our Lady, we petition Our Lady, and we begin with the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 24 Supplication.
Lesson of the Mother Queen. Now, dear daughter, listen to how much I and this dear baby love you. For at the dawn of his life, he goes into exile and into a foreign land in order to free you from the exile in which your human will put you, so as to call you back to live, not in a foreign land, but in your fatherland, which was given to you by God when you were created. That is, the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Daughter of my heart, have pity on the tears of your mother and on the tears of this sweet dear baby, as we, crying, ask you never to do your will. But come back, we pray you, we implore you, into the bosom of the divine will, which so much longs for you. The soul to our queen. Most sweet mama, how much I thank you for making me comprehend the great evil of the human will. Therefore, I pray you, for the sake of the sorrow you suffered in the exile of Egypt, to make my soul go out of the exile of my will and to make me repatriate to the dear fatherland of the divine will. Little sacrifice. Today, to honor me, you will offer your actions united with mine in act of gratitude to the holy baby, praying him to enter into the Egypt of your heart in order to change it all into will of God. ejaculatory prayer, my mama, enclose little Jesus in my heart, that he may reorder it all into divine will.
And all of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, there's so much to learn in this supplication also, Maureen. And look at Jesus. Jesus gives us an example of almost everything we're going to go through. The exile, you know, our Lord, the Savior, the King of the universe, gets kicked out, gets exiled, has to run to Egypt. Just like Adam got kicked out of Eden, just like we, the descendants of Adam, are still outside of Eden. And then another lesson too that, you know, we think about is when Herod was no longer alive, it was time to go back to the homeland. I mean, they didn't say, okay, let's just stay here. Egypt is pretty good. No, Jesus, you're having a good time with the children. Let's just hang out for a while. No, they didn't say that. Okay, it's time to go back. Jesus is telling us the same thing now through the divine will, through the book of heaven. He's telling us it's time to come back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God. We've been living in this exile, really tethered by an umbilical cord. And he says, the cord's not going to be there much longer. You must come back. And I think, hence, that's what when he talks about, you know, the coming tribulations, that, you know, 2/3 of mankind will cease to exist. You know, that's almost unfathomable. So really, we have every reason to say yes, and not just for the reason that we want to be protected, but we should be saying yes, giving our fiat, because we want to please God. He wants our paternity back. So yeah, I want to be your little son. I want to be your little daughter. That's, I think, what we should be saying, and I think the divine will helps us to do that.
You know, Peter, I was thinking, even if we don't say we don't survive, it's okay if we're in the divine will. You
right.
know, anything is okay. When I realized that, I'm like, I felt a little freer, because in the divine will, everything is fiat.
Right.
You know, so you don't live trying to save yourself.
Nope.
You just live in the fiat, and then you're free. So whatever's going to happen, you might be looking from another place, or you might be here. You know, it's God is the God of time, and he's the God of every circumstance in your life. And when you feel when you say fiat, whatever happens is good. So,
and that's why the admonition that those souls in purgatory relayed and conveyed through the mystics about, you know, if they had to do anything over again, they would have made better use of the time while still on earth. That's something we really need to take notice of, because just like you said, it's okay. If we were to perish tomorrow, that's okay if that be God's will. But have we prepared enough today for that?
Haven't.
I'm not saying live in fear and live, you know, shut everything out and just, you know, but every day, again, Jesus says we must be reborn. Not just once. I met a lovely young gentleman not too long ago who says, I'm a born again. And when I tried to convey about, you know, being born again every day, he didn't really get the concept. So again, we try it. We when you get the least bit of resistance or not commonality, we know to just you know, move on and pray. St. Hannibal gave us great admonition, right? He gave us two really helpful hints. St. Hannibal, I think it's in letter number 13. I'm not quite sure, but I think it is. He said he only reads 2 to 3 passages a day because he wants to fully digest them. He wants to fully understand them as best he can and to meditate on them. So he says 2 to 3 passages a day is all he does. And he also says, I speak about the divine will to those who basically I move to do. He doesn't carry around cards like me, you know, handing out divine will cards.
No, but that's good. That's great, those cards, Peter.
Well, no, it is good, because you know why? I think once you start to speak to somebody about the divine will or anything foreign, right away, the walls go up. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, the defense mechanisms, the protecting shields go up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard to permeate those. So if we do it in another way, like I, for example, I like handing out these cards. I don't know if you can see it. So if anyone wants these cards, just send me an email. It's got you know, our website on the front part, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's got the other website, the sister website, fiatradio.org, which is all MP3. I hand this out, or I'll actually leave this on the pew in the church. You know, I mean, look at Father Brown.
Great.
He found a pamphlet on the pew. Father Iannuzzi found a pamphlet on the shelf of the church. I mean, these were just left by people. So another strategy that's being divulged to us that we can use. And how great is that? You can be the shyest person in the world. What
that's
does it
right.
take to leave a card on the pew? Nothing.
That's right. Yeah.
To speak to anybody.
And these people that are in the adoration chapels, they're open. I mean,
right,
most of them,
right.
You know, I mean, look where they are. Who goes to adoration anymore? The people that are there are looking for Jesus. You know, they're so. I think that's a great way.
Yeah, yeah. So anyone who wants these, there's no cost. They're free. Just let me know how many you need. Send an email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, and it'll get to me because there's only me here, and there's Maureen there.
Peter, all by himself.
Yeah, and I'm rearranging. I moved 90 degrees, and I'm not quite finished with my little office here. But so if it looks a little straggly, I apologize. But we're glad to have Maureen back, because this is Crossing the Exile, Jesus explained to us how important this journey is. Think about it. If you're taking a ride to the seashore, the fun, the pleasure should begin. Oh, of course, in the mind before you leave, but as you're journeying, as you're taking the train, as you're taking the plane, as you're taking the car, it should be joyful because you're on your way. And Jesus is saying the same thing here. Yeah, but of course, we wait till the end game. We need to cross the finish line. But he also explains to us in Crossing the Exile how very important it is, not just to us, but to all souls. Again, he's watching. And also Crossing the Exile gives us the opportunity. Remember, how do we exercise virtues? We need circumstances. We need situations. We need troublesome, you know,
people.
Souls sometimes to be in front of us to challenge us. And that's, you know, that's good. That's good. And again, that helps us to develop that nature. And when we develop the nature, it becomes natural. Now, when it becomes natural, it's our second nature, then eventually it becomes our nature. So it could be a very quick progression, or it could take years. It all depends on how reluctant we are to give away. You know, it's like throwing out the trash, but holding on to it. Oh, I got to hold on to it.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Clearing out a lot of stuff here. And really, this was a great simile, too. I was speaking to Frank earlier today, and he said that we're nothing but signposts. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If there's a stop sign in front of you, are you looking at the post? No, you're looking at the sign. Mm-hmm. And if there's no sign, there'd be no reason for a post. It's like the shadow. Jesus says we're nothing but a shadow. Think about it. A shadow is something, but a shadow is nothing if there isn't that object or that entity to create the shadow. Yeah. Christ allows the shadow. Take Christ, remove Christ, the shadow disappears. So we're nothing but a shadow, but we're something. I guess that's a lesson of we're nothing without God. We're everything to God. So again, simple lessons. What is it? What do they say? Simple truths for complicated souls.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the other way around. We make things complicated sometimes. Yeah, and really, this divine will is easy. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm there. Or I'm not even close to being there. But looking at it simplistically, looking at it from a child's perspective, I think puts, and he says we have to do that, puts everything, I think, in perspective, and I think makes everything easier to digest. Okay, so we're here September 6th, Crossing the Exile together. That's important. When two or more are gathered, I will be there in your midst. So he is here. Our Lord is here. Our Lady is here. We know that for a fact. I was going to read something here, but no, I'll read that later because we're not going to have enough time. If we have time, I'll read something from the Magnificat. I just found this on the shelf a year old and just open to the right page. But anyway, we're on footnote number 300, I believe. And we're about halfway through it, Maureen. Mm-hmm. Maureen, what I thought we'd do, this is from volume 32, October 1st, 1933. What's in purple, we've already covered.
Mm-hmm.
What's in black, we haven't.
Okay.
Maybe if I tape my mouth shut and I won't say anything, I'll let you get through the entire perfectly. And then we'll begin with our new material here, and we'll have some discussion around that.
Okay.
Is that okay?
October 1st, 1933. Enchanting scenes that Jesus enjoys in the soul who lives in his will. Continuous call that God and the creature make. The divine volition never leaves me. It seems to me that it is always inside and outside of me, as an act of surprising me, because it wants to place its act in everything that I do. If I pray, if I suffer, if I labor, and even if I sleep, it wants to give me its divine rest in my sleep. It always wants to give itself something to do, and in everything, it calls me by telling me, let me descend into the depth of all your acts, and I will make you rise into the heights of my act. We will compete, you to ascend, and I to descend. But who can say what the divine will made felt in my soul? Its excessive love, its condescension, its continuous occupying itself over my poor soul. But while I found myself under the empire of the divine volition, repouring itself over me, my highest good, Jesus, surprisingly told me, my good daughter, Louisa, there is no scene that moves me and enraptures me more than to see the human littleness under the empire of my will. The divine in the human, the great in the littleness, the strong in the weak, that, hiding in each other, conquer each other in turn. It is so beautiful, so enchanting, that I find the pure joys, the divine happiness, that the creature can give me, even though I see that she brings my same will to me in hand, and she brings it to me by means of the channel of the human will. If you knew how much this delights me, in order to please me, you would let yourself always be conquered by my will. I can say that I leave heaven while I remain in order to come to enjoy the pure joys that my divine will knows how to give me in the little circle of the creature on earth.
There's so much there just in one paragraph. Yeah. We would need all evening just even to touch it. Mm-hmm. But a couple of really quick points, because I know I want to get to the new material. My good daughter, Louisa, there is no scene that moves me. Okay, right there. We read before. I don't have my notes because, again, I moved 90 degrees and everything. I think I left it over there 90 degrees. We know that Jesus told Luis and tells us that the thing that is most necessary to receive this gift of living the divine will is to move God to give it to us, to give him a reason to give it to us, to move him. Now, through this channel of the exile, this crossing the exile, he's saying, I'm going to take being moved to a greater degree. Because every time we give God what he's looking for, he showers us with grace and graces. So to move God, we get showered with graces. He knows we're going to need more grace because things are going to be really, really difficult. And he's fair. He needs a reason, basically, to give us that additional grace. So he's raising the bar. He's saying, okay, I'm going to be now enchanted. I'm going to have all the joys, all the happinesses, which are contained in enchantment. It's sort of like an aura. So not only am I going to be moved, I'm going to be enchanted. So since I'm enchanted, here's more gifts. Here's more graces, because that's what we're going to need. Things are going to get very difficult, perhaps. So he's giving us this information right now. He's telling us that it delights him. This is the reason why we journey the divine will, not because I want to get to the finish line. No, I want to delight my Lord. I want to enchant him. I want to move him. I want him to have if he wants his paternity back, I want him to have that, and I'll do whatever I have to do. So that's the way I think we should be thinking. Do I always think that way? Absolutely not. I have my little sticky notes all over the place, my bedroom, my bathroom, to remember that. Because again, the more we remember it, the more it becomes second nature. The more it becomes second nature, it becomes a nature, blah, blah, blah. The same thing there. So lots there. Okay, but now there's a lot here also, which is really I'm excited about. So let me just bring this up a little bit, Maureen.
Okay.
Right there. And we have the green for the Irish. Okay.
So. Oh, yeah. Okay. You, Louisa, must know that one who does my divine will and lets it flow in her acts, continuously calls God and all his attributes. God hears himself always called by the creature. Now she calls him because she wants his power. Now she wants his love. Now because she wants his sanctity, his light, his goodness, his imperturbable peace. In sum, she remains always calling him because she wants of his. And God always remains waiting for her in order to give what she asks.
The word asks. That's so important. Again, I don't have my notes up, but I'll try to do it from memory. There's four things, four requirements, basically, that Jesus says that we must acquire before we can acquire this gift. Number one, we must be in the state of grace. Nothing can be given to us unless we're in the state of grace. Two, we must have an ardent desire. We must truly want this gift. We must have an upright intention. We must want this for God, not just for ourselves. And the fourth, he wants us to ask for this gift, whether it be verbally, vocally, or subliminally. He wants to hear us ask for the gift. That really threw me for a loop when he said he wants us to ask. But then he goes on to explain why all of creation is mute. We're the only one he can really have that dialogue with. And we can also speak through creation. Remember, everything in creation was created for us as a subtle reminder of God. We see that tree, we see God. We don't see God in the tree, although some of us may see God in the tree. But we see God's creation, his majesty, his benevolence in that tree, which is so great.
I think, you know, when we ask for these gifts, I just picture him standing there having them ready because he knows what we're going to ask for. He wants us to ask. So he has them already in his hand. He wants to give them. You know, he's exploding to give the gifts to his children. We just have to ask. And he's so
you know,
glad
he knows, but that's a great point. He knows what we want.
Yeah, and what we need.
Well, then I'm so happy you said that, Marie. I'm going to couple that with what we've talked about often is Jesus saying grace anticipates the soul.
Yeah.
So grace will be with us when we need it, perhaps no sooner than we need it, but at the time we need it. Just like the saints must have had that grace to endure the punishments, the tortures, and all the martyrdom that they endured. So grace anticipates the soul. To your point, yes, he knows what we need when we need it. He's waiting. He's waiting for that. It's almost like watching a film. We know the ending. We know everything about that. We've seen the film 1,000 times. We know everything. He knows the sequence. Again, this is quantum physics. He knows everything, every page of our life.
And I know he's God, but I think I'm just picturing him having such great joy giving it to us. You know, it's it gives him great joy, I would think.
Yeah, no, I agree also. Somebody just in the chat said, can you please explain where it says that things are going to get very difficult?
Ooh, it's awesome. Where does it?
If you have Father Inez, he's, well, just look at scripture. Two-thirds of humanity will not
it's
be here.
It's all through the volumes, isn't it,
yeah,
though,
yes.
Peter? Yeah.
If you have Father Nuzzi's doctoral dissertation on pages 264, 265, he reiterates what Jesus says is going to happen. Fire is going to fall from the sky. Lands are going to move. Entire cities are going to be enveloped. You know, plagues are going to be persistent. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Everything horrible and horrific. The divine will can mitigate some. We're going to get chastised. So that he says is a fact, but we can mitigate. And I think Louisa mitigated quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we can do the same. But yeah, Linda, there's quite a bit. It's an appropriate question. But yeah, like I said, I'll send the email out if you don't have Father's dissertation. And by the way, if you don't have Father's dissertation and if funds or finances is an issue, send us an email in confidence to Mary Sale at queenofthedivinewill.org, and we'll get you a copy. Okay. You ought to have it because as we wait for the critical edition to release, which we're not sure when we're going to have that, Father Inuzzi has summarized all of Luis's writings. He's given us the theological perspective like he has here, and then he drives us into the volumes. And all of this has been approved by the church. It has abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval, by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, where many popes have gone through, authorized by the Holy See. So the Holy See gave it stamp of approval. So highly recommend that as we await the critical edition of Luisa's writings. which
And everything it really has to come down so it can be built up so the kingdom can come. But in every act that we do, we bring the kingdom down. So it's we have a part to play in this. The kingdom comes little by little with each act and all the rounds that we do. So it's really an incentive, plus the Lord wants us to do it. We have an incentive to bring the kingdom quicker, to lessen the chastisements that have to come. I mean, when you look around, you say, this isn't part of the kingdom for sure. But when things come down, you say, praise God. That means the kingdom's coming. That's how we have to, I think, that's how we have to think. It's hard for me. I've had to talk myself into this, you know,
Are you succeeding? Are you listening to yourself?
You know, I'm a grandmom now. And so it's a little harder, you know, and you have babies and stuff, but the Lord's helping me. It has to come down because you don't want your grandbabies in this world.
Right.
What's going to happen when your grandbabies are older? If what they're doing now to children is going to continue. So when things fall down, when we hear, oh, look what happened, praise God, the kingdom's coming. When when this crashes, praise God, the kingdom's coming. It all has to come down.
Right.
And so we're at an advantage because we know and we can help. And when it comes, we say, yeah, well, the kingdom's coming. It makes perfect sense. You can't build a kingdom on, what does Jesus call it, rot? I love some of the words that he uses in the volumes, rot and slime. You can't build a kingdom on rot and slime.
That's right.
You know, and he says we're walking with our face on the ground and our feet in the air.
We're walking on our heads. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's backwards. You can't have a kingdom like that. So you got to start from the beginning and go back to the garden. So we have to think that way, you know, so.
Yeah. And going back to Our Lady, she prophesied that she forewarned us at Fatima, among other places. She said, there'll come a time where there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad. Bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good.
Yeah.
How are we there now? I mean, that's exactly where we are right now. So she prophesied that. She warned us, forewarned us. But many don't listen to Our Lady. So, but we do. We do. We honor Our Lady. And she always brings us to her son. And we can emulate what she, and listen to her, what she said at the wedding of Cana. Do as he tells you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what she's saying to us right now. Mm-hmm. What is Jesus telling us?
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us, if I've given you access to the book of heaven, I want you to read it. I want you to study this. I want you to ponder this. Jesus is going to, and our Blessed Mother is going to explain this to us in a way we can understand it. Yeah, we can listen to other people. You can listen to us. But we're not going to help you the way they're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
We're just cheerleaders. That's all we are, to get you excited about going deeper into the divine will. That's all we do here.
I thought it was really interesting. Father Iannuzzi said on one of his talks that, you know, people say, well, we don't need the apparitions. Everything that we've known, everything that we need to know stopped with the death of the last apostle. So we don't need to hear about apparitions. We don't need Fatima. You know how you get people like, we don't need to hear that. We have we know everything there is to know. And Father said that there was a priest, I think in the 16th century, who put that out there. I mean, I guess it's old since the 16th century. He said that we don't need anything after the death of the last apostle. And so what happened was when he said that, all the seminaries took that as gospel truth, and they began to teach it everywhere, and it became part of our teaching. And Father Iannuzzi said, that is false. That is faulty theology, and that God is always teaching us. He said, so the apparitions are Our Lady, Jesus, teaching us through his mother. And it's a shame because people turn. Now, in the divine will, it seems to me that many people are Blessed Mother people. She has led us here.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we've all kind of, she's been teaching us little by little. So it just flows. So the divine will just fits right in where it should be. It makes sense to us because we've been listening to her admonitions and her telling us what to do. And now, children, this is going to happen. Now you got to pray for your shepherds. You know, the people are cursing the Pope and cursing the shepherds. She's saying, pray for your shepherds.
Right.
Just like a mother. If you have a child that's a bad child, you don't want the siblings beating up the child. Let's get them. No.
Yeah.
The mother says, pray, pray.
How about in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom? Jesus says, if you want miracles and graces, go to my mother.
Yes.
As I cannot deny her anything she asks of me.
Yes.
So, I mean, she's the distributor.
Yes.
God's the manufacturer. When you need a part, you don't go to the manufacturer, you go to the distributor.
Right.
The greatest way, the quickest way, the most secure way to Jesus is through Mary. And now with Louisa. One more comment too about this, time-wise. I think this whole paragraph here is talking about fusing. You, Louisa, must know. That's another thing also we must point out. Jesus is telling us we must know this. There's a book called the You Must Know book where everything that Jesus said you must know is contained in that book. It's free on our website, queenofthedivineworld.org. It's in the Divine World Resource Library. These are important things. Jesus is saying we must know this. And he didn't say, well, this is nice to know. You must know this. So that's a book you want to read. It's not that long, but he's saying here also, you must know that one who does my divine will, lets its life flow in her acts, continuously calls God and all his attributes. God hears her, called by the creature, now calls him the power. Okay, all this is, we're talking about fusing. This is what we ask for in our preventing act in the morning, that we do everything with and through God. Calling on God's attributes. And when we call on God's attributes, he gives us. He gives us. He waits. Again, he says he remains waiting for her or us in order to give what we ask for. If we don't ask for it, we may not get it. But if we ask for it and it's good and it be his will, we're going to get it. It may not be now. It may not be tomorrow, but we're going to get it. He says right here, we're waiting. I'm waiting for you to ask for this. I think that's an important important truth that we must hang on to. Okay, I think we can continue, Marie.
Okay. And in order to exchange her, he feels called and he calls her. In order to show trust to her and tell her, what else do you want of my divine being? Take what you want. Rather, as you call me, I already prepare for you my power, my love, my light, my sanctity that is wanted in your act.
Exactly what you said before.
Mm-hmm.
He's already prepared. He knows what we need. He knows when we're going to ask, if we're going to ask. Again, grace anticipates the soul. It's like, okay, Jesus, I need, but it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there. And that's why he wants us to call on him in everything, include him in everything, fuse in everything. And again, this takes sometimes, because again, we forget. I forget. When I get in the car, do I always say, come divine, will drive my driving? No, but I'm probably up to about 75% of the time I do. I start out at maybe 25%. So again, this is repetition. We have to, it's constancy. Jesus talks about, he uses that word constancy. Take what you want. I'm already prepared for you. My power, my love, my light, my sanctity, that is wanted in your act. But this is only possible if we call Jesus in that act. Come divine will wash in my washing. Come divine will drive my driving. That's calling. These are called the actual acts. We do the preventing act in the morning. And because of weaknesses and diminished perhaps lack of attentiveness, we need to sort of recharge that preventing act, and we do the actual acts, everything. After we say grace, come divine will, eat in my eating. Again, inviting God, he's going to accept our invitation as long as it's not something unholy. Take what you want. I already prepare for you my power, my love, my light, my sanctity that is wanted in your act. We want Jesus in our act. We want this fusing. He says, okay, if you want it, I'm going to give it to you. Wow. Is it that easy? It really is. It really is. But we have to believe this. We have to trust in him. Is this just a nice book? Is it on the equivalency of a novel? Then it's not going to work. Jesus says in volume 36, he says, the divine will has two opposite effects on souls. I'm going to paraphrase it because, again, I don't have my notes in front of me. He says it has two opposite effects. For those who seek the truth, and trust it. It is light and love and sanctity. But for those who want to split hairs and doubt it, they will be blinded. They will not be able to see the light. And that's, I think, a great explanation as to why do we see, feel, and retain something special about this divine will. We see something that the majority of others do not see, but we're looking at the same thing, right? We're looking at the same object, the same set of volumes. But we see gold and others see tin. Why? Because they're not yet ready. He says in volume 16, he's called a small group to be intimate with him. I think we're part of that small group. And through us, that cog is going to work, that mechanism. Remember, there's a main mm-hmm. thrust of the cog, main engine. And that cog, once it engages, because Adam was there, then he disengaged when he sinned. Once that cog engages, that starts to go. Now other cogs start to join that cog, and everything becomes powered by Christ, not by us. He's just passing it through us. But he's calling that first group, those first cogs, to be intimate with him. Volume 16, I don't have the exact date. I think it's February 13th, but I'm not sure. I'll have my notes next time, I promise. These are important things. I mean, these are things to reread again. And I mean, I can't stop reading the ones that I like, to be honest with you. And I'm not even sure if I've read every passage, I'll be honest with you. I don't know, because I don't go in order. I just sometimes I open the volume or I get prompted to do something. I'm not sure. I hope I have, but I'm not sure. I couldn't attest to it. But remember also, again, not that we should neglect it. I don't want to get in trouble here. Remember, St. Hannibal only read up to 19, and he was fully in the divine will. Again, God knows what we can do. He knows what we should do. He knows what we have time to do. Just like when it comes to charity, he knows what we can do and what we can't do. He's not asking us to do what we can't do, but he's asking us to do what we can do. So if that makes any sense. A lot here, Maureen. Grace anticipates the soul. What else do you want of my divine being? Again, he's saying, trust me. And our response has to be, Jesus, I trust in you. He gave us that already.
Yeah. That's right? Really divine important. Mercy. That's really important. I trust you. Divine will. Yeah.
I trust you. Because how can we give a fiat if we don't trust? It's a superficial fiat. It's not a real fiat. Did Mary have doubts when she said fiat? No. She accepted fully what the angel said. And then everything was done for her. Same with us. Once we give our fiat, God's going to, he's going to push us through this. We won't be walking. Remember what Jesus told Louisa, you're going to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. This is mystical. Mm-hmm. This is the interior life of God that he wants to bring back to us, that Adam had, that Eve had. This is way beyond our human comprehension. Mm-hmm. He even says that about the church. He says it's going to take a long time for the church to accept this because they're going to try to understand it through human terms. You can't do that. You need divine grace. And God's willing to give that divine grace if you want it. Jesus, I want to understand this. Please give me the grace to understand it. Then he gives the grace. But giving you the grace is only half the battle. Now we have to use that grace, trust that grace, and now bring it to fruition. I mean, we're being showered with grace. Most of the grace goes unused. And he tells us that, I don't have the volume because I don't have my notes, but he tells us the gift is only confirmed when we respond to it. Now, what does that mean? What is it? Well, it could be a thank you. That's a response. The gift is only confirmed when we respond to it. Otherwise, it goes into this, he says it goes into this sort of like a limbo, like a halfway between heaven and earth. It's stored. It's waiting. It's in storage. How many grace and graces are in that storage? I use the analogy. It's like having this huge pinata, just waiting to be broken open. And now he's handing us baseball bats. Come on, smack the pinata, get the candy out, get the grace out. All those are going to shower down. They have not been confirmed, but they can be confirmed. Remember, we're doing this on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future. We're not, but God has taken it to that level. This is way beyond our imagination, but this is a reality if we trust it. And God will help us understand this. And believe in this. I really believe that. Are we on time? Not good. Okay. We have one more paragraph, Marie.
Okay.
Please.
In fact, God calls the soul, and the soul calls God, and this always calling each other in order to ask and receive, and God, in order to give, forms the life of my will in the creature.
Okay, just a quick stop there. God calls the soul. God started this. We didn't start this. So God starts. We respond. Or we don't respond. But when we do respond, we're sort of saying, okay, tell me more. That's really interesting. God calls the soul and the soul calls God. And this always calling each other in order to ask and receive. Again, this is the fusing. This is that bonding. It forms the life of my will in the creature. The human will is pushed out. The divine will comes in. Just like original sin is crowded out at baptism by the Holy Spirit. Pushed out. Has no power. That's incredible. Yeah, God started this, but he wants, he needs a response.
It matures her and makes her grow and forms the sweet enchantment of her creator himself. One continuous act encloses such power that God does not know how to unbind himself from the creature, nor she from God. Rather, they feel the irresistible need of remaining bound with each other.
How great is this? Again, yeah. I think this sentence explains enchantment is beyond joy. It's beyond happiness. I mean, those are contained in enchantment, but this is an aura. God has raised the bar himself so that we can give him reason to give us more. It's incredible. He lowered himself to elevate us, and he keeps doing that. He keeps bringing us higher and higher, closer and closer to him. Is that incredible, Maureen?
Yes, it sure is. It sure is. And if you don't understand it at first, this is the difference I see with people. Like some people will read that and go, well, that doesn't make sense. And then they don't want to read it.
Right.
Where if you're little and you're trusting, you're saying, wow, I don't get that, but it sounds really good and I want to get it. So I'm going to keep going. You know, you see it as something heavenly, something divine. And in your littleness, you say, well, I don't quite understand it, but I'm going to. And you keep right. going. And that, you know, with the different knowledges that you read, of course, you're not going to get them all because you're a mere human. But he wants to infuse himself into you, and it's all part of the journey. And so it's really exciting, but you have to be little, you have to trust those two things. And if you have those, I think it makes the journey more exciting.
Certainly does. How about this? One continuous act encloses such power that God does not know how to unbind himself from the creature.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Now, that also, I put that in the same category as when Jesus tells Louisa and us that one act in the divine will, even an insignificant act, a blinking of the eye in the divine will, is greater than all the acts of all the souls, including all the saints, combined outside of the divine will. That's incredible. Yeah. That's incredible. All that done outside the playground cannot compare to one thing done inside the playground.
And if we go back to what we were saying about in the chastisements coming, and we get this point, what you just said, then we say, wow, I'm really glad I'm living now. This gift is unbelievable. You mean I can blink my eye and it's more powerful than what St. Catherine of Siena? That in itself gets you to want to learn about this great gift, right? That one sentence. That you don't understand, but you want to understand. And it makes you realize that we're the people that St. Louis de Montfort was talking about. It's us. It's us. We've been reading about him. It's us. It's unbelievable, really. But these kind of things, when you think about these, the fact that there's chastisements coming kind of take a second seat, you know, and you think to yourself, this is all about how much God loves us. It takes you to a different level of understanding his love for us. That he goes, first of all, all these words Jesus is giving us in these volumes, how many are there? I mean, they're all his words. How much does he love us that he took all that time with Louisa for us to read these? The love that he has for us, you begin to understand it in a deeper way, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not downplaying scripture, but remember, scripture was influenced by God. The divine will, the book of heaven, was written by God. There's a huge delineation there. Huge lineation. Also, I can't not think of Mary, but I just found this earlier today also. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Maximilian Kolbe speaks of the holiness of Mary that will eclipse Christians in the end times. Mary is driving us right into the divine will bosom of her son. And that's why we go to Mary. Jesus says, go to Mary. God's children are entrusted to Mary. She's marking your children. Remember? He says that, marking your children.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to go to Mary. We cannot venerate Mary more. We can never insult Jesus, because who is more Marian? How can we ever be more Marian than Jesus himself? We can't. We don't worship Mary. We venerate her. We thank her. She's blessed. It's great. Okay, we've got one more. Maria, how are you on time? Okay.
Oh. Yeah, I'm good.
We're a couple minutes past. Sorry
Okay.
about that.
No problem. And only my will knows how to produce these continuous acts that never cease and form the true character of living in my will. On the other hand, a changeable character, a broken work, is the true sign of living of human volition that does not know how to give either firmness or peace, and does not know how to produce anything other than thorns and bitternesses. Fiat. I think I do that sometimes. Sometimes when I read this, I'm like, oh, I'm good there. Oh, I'm not good there. You know, this is constantly learning. It's really, I mean, this is the making of saints. We're not saints, but it's really good. And in the privacy of our own homes, we can go, oh, that was me.
Right. Here also, the last line, he Jesus repeats what he said often before. On the other hand, a changeable character, a broken work, is a true sign of living of human volition. He tells us another way also. He says, lack of constancy, vacillation. I forget exactly the word he used. That's the surest sign. If you want to know if you're living in the divine will, well, did you lose your temper today? Did you get frustrated at something? You're not as nice as you could have been to someone. I mean, the answer is yes, probably. All of that's got to stop.
Yeah,
that's got to stop. And we have to be loving. We have to be empathetic. It doesn't mean we have to walk into danger. But again, remember what the Saint Cyril of Jerusalem said: when things start to get difficult, he says, "Flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church." And cool. So we may have to make some tough decisions as things get difficult. We have to align ourselves. Maybe our friends that we think are friends may not be friends. Actually, Jesus goes so far. Oh, I wish I had this. Jesus goes so far to say, I think I can get this pretty close. Trust no soul that is not living in the divine will.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. Trust no soul. Now, again, there are trustworthy souls right now, but when things get tough, somebody who is not clamoring to God will have that survival of the fittest mentality. And with that, anything goes. We see that in stampedes. We see that in, you know, Black Friday shopping. You know, they'll kill you to get a TV for $99. So again, all of this can be mitigated through the divine will. This is absolutely great. This is everything we've been looking for in our lives, and everything God has waited for us to find. Again, everything we've done in our lives has not been a waste. Whether we're Dominicans, Franciscans, we belong to this prayer group, Marian Movement of Priests, doesn't matter. everything was a stepping stone. I'm not minimalizing it. I'm not trivializing it. But just like Jesus says, everything I've given you, the church, the sacraments, the Eucharist, the saints, the everything has been a seed, a means in which to bring all souls back to my divine will. So it's moving forward, going back. It's really very simple. Again, simple truths for complicated souls. But then, of course, we'll disconnect here. I'll say, wait a minute. Did I really get that? Did I say that right? I don't. But you know, we have to trust God in what he's going to tell us. We have to trust Our Lady, go to Our Lady so that our Lord can speak to us.
And I don't know, like, I think things that I see now, or maybe something that I read, or even a song, I say to myself, oh my gosh, this is divine will. And 10 years ago, I didn't think that. But you begin to see a vein, like something going through everything that you're witnessing, the good things and maybe even the bad, because you have to say fiat. But you see things and you recognize the divine will in it. That's what happens to me. I don't know about anybody else. But things that I read, I say, oh, this is divine will. It sounds like the divine will to me, you know, because it becomes a different way that you think. You think differently. And so things that change their meaning. And you see the movement of the will of God in things where you didn't before.
Right.
Yeah. And people that give their fiat, where you might have seen them as, well, gosh, they're saying okay to that or whatever. It's a different thing. It's being putty in the hands of God, saying, yes, Lord, your will be done. And now we know it as a fiat, your will be done, Lord. You don't see it as a weakness. You see it as a great strength. And you want to have that strength.
Well, you're right. There's been a flurry of songs that speak about the divine will. There is. I don't know. I don't remember the names right now, but they're actually reciting their, not just the Our Father, but the divine will. They're talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all there. It's all there. You know, God has really opened our eyes. And we have to be very grateful. Remember, Jesus says that ingratitude was one of the greatest pains he suffered in his humanity. We have to be constantly thanking him for everything, including when we wake up in the morning. Do I do this every time? No, but I'm getting better. Thank you, Lord. I awakened today. I did nothing to wake up. Yeah, the alarm clock maybe, but no. God, while we were sleeping, God was beating our heart, flowing our blood, breathing our lungs just like he does every day when we're awake. So we have to be thankful. I want to end on something that's really, really, I think, crucial and something that not many have heard. I was shocked at this, but St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he's a saint. He's a church doctor from the 1100s. He's also in the breviary, 169, that the clergy reads every day. Yeah, he made the breviary. Okay, so he's no slouch. He says this, quote, "We know that there are three comings of our Lord." Sounds scandalous, huh? Hold on. "The third lies between the other two. It is invisible, while the other two are visible. In the first coming, he was seen on earth dwelling among men. He himself testified that they saw him and they hated him. In the final coming, all flesh will see the salvation of our God, and they will look upon him whom they pierced. The intermediate coming is a hidden one. In it, only the elect see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. In his first coming, our Lord came in our flesh and in our weakness. In this middle coming, he is our rest and our consolation." End quote. I asked Father Anuzzi point blank, "Is this middle coming, this intermediate coming, is it now?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Is it the divine will?" He says, "Yes." Can you imagine if we missed this boat? I mean, we've been waiting for the boat to come in. This is the Queen Mary. This is the biggest ship that could possibly come in. It's the preparation. It's our Lord coming, not as he did the first time, not as he will the second time. He's coming interiorly. He's coming invisibly. No thief can take this. Mm-hmm. Nobody can ruin this for ourselves except ourselves, which is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Three comings of our Lord. We're living it right now. And that's why the divine will must be our lives. Jesus says that we must make this our lives. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll end with that, Maureen. And I can't wait till next week. I think, again, God is just helping us to appreciate the journey, the ride, the train ride, the car ride, the boat, whatever we're doing in our minds. Every ride should be enjoyable because that final destination is within reach. God says this is within reach. And this may all come about in our lifetime. We don't know. Things are happening quickly. We don't know. But like you said, Maria, I think it was great advice. It doesn't matter. If we were to cease tomorrow, as long as we prepared today the best we could, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. As long as we prepared the best we could today, God will take that into consideration and he'll give us and do for us what we didn't do, what we neglected to do. He says that. Start something. Have the intention of doing it. Honest intention, not a frivolous intention. Honest intention. And do everything you can to bring that to fruition. And if you fall short, which you're probably going to fall short, I will step in. I'll fill the voids.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. And he gives us a great example. He gives us the example of Jesus. He says, if I came without doing the will of the Father, my life, my birth, life, death, and resurrection would have only effectuated a change among two or three generations, just the people around me. But because I came to do the will of the Father, God knew the intention of his son. His son's intention was to save everyone. He did everything within God's power to allow everyone to be saved. Is everyone saved? No. Any fault of Jesus? No. So Jesus says, the Father gives Jesus credit, let's say, for lack of, I don't know if you use that word, gives Jesus credit as if all souls were saved because Jesus did everything within his power to bring that to fruition. And to no fault of Jesus, if someone says, I don't want to be saved, he's not going to invalidate our free will. Perfect example. So if we start out with something with an upright intention, with a firm desire, and we have the intention of doing something, and we do everything within our wherewithal to do it, to get it done, and we fall short, Jesus will complete it and give us credit as if we did it ourselves. You couldn't ask for a more gratuitous God. It's right here. I want to mention real quickly, if I may, we've got Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will joined on Radio Maria. That's every Thursday. And just go to radiomaria.us. It's the School of Mary on Radio Maria at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. We also have every Friday, Maureen Lamini will be with me again with the Divine Will ebook series. Here we go through Father Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation, and we methodically go through it slowly. And again, this is a great program because it's not what we're saying. It's what's in the dissertation, which has abrogation approval by the Gregorian University, authorized by the Holy See. So that's every Friday. Then this Saturday, Father's back. Father Celso is back from the summer. It's a Divine Will Day of Recollection all day, 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 p.m. We've sent the material out. If you're not receiving emails, just send us an email. Give us your email address. But that's on Saturday. The adoration and the rosary and the divine will begins at 8 a.m. Eastern time. But Father speaks at 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. He gives five talks, five 45-minute talks, 15-minute break. We go to Poland for Eucharistic adoration during the 15-minute break. Great. And then on Sunday, we have with us live again, Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. So today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, make this our lives. We're trying. God, please fill in my gaps. Love everybody. Be kind to everyone. We're gonna need each other very, very soon if we don't do it.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Maureen.
Okay, Peter. Take care. Thanks, Peter. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.